I'm very timid, so hopefully this works for everyone. My voice is a little hoarse, but I will try to project enough. It's a shame everyone should hear. Okay. Good. So ideally, hopefully, everyone had an amazing, amazing Shavuos. I heard yeshiva was gevaldik. But wherever you were, please God, it was a real spiritual high. You connected to your learning. You felt great. A sense of ischadshus, reconnecting to the Torah, pushing yourself further. And it was a gevaldik Shavuos. Mirtz Hashem, that should be the case. But what I want to address for the few moments tonight, and to talk over and share some ideas, is what happens if that wasn't the case? It wasn't my best Shavuos ever. You know, I came at night to learn, and I was dozing. It wasn't my greatest learning. Schlepping myself through. Didn't have the best davening in the morning. That might have happened to one or two people once in a while. The Shavuos morning davening, a little rough. And I don't know, I didn't feel this tremendous sense of spiritual high. This reconnecting in such a gevaldik way. Or maybe not. Maybe halavai, right? Okay, Shavuos was gevaldik. And I loved it. And the learning was great. And the shiurim were great. And I was plowing through. And I was feeling great. Halavai. But what about the next day? The next day I had all these images in my head of waking up early, throwing in an extra Seder. It'll be amazing. And then I'll really connect to my morning Seder and shiur. And it's all going to be so gevaldic. Elevated and elated. And I'm going to be on this cloud of ecstasy. That's what we're hoping for. Isn't that why we're celebrating Shavuos? And let's say that didn't happen. I woke up a little late. I was really tired. The Shavuos hangover. You know? Davening wasn't the best. I didn't get the extra Seder in. My morning Seder was a little distracted. It wasn't my best learning. So what then? So what do we do at that moment? And it's not just about Shavuos. It's our all lives as Yidden. Struggling with our Avodas Hashem, we have those moments of tremendous elation and jubilation and excitement and feelings of connection and hargashos that are wonderful with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and times where it's harder and we're just not feeling it. We're just not there. So what then? What about those moments? I think it's easy to say what then when we have the moments of our highs. We have the moments where everything is connecting and clicking. You don't need any Yetzes there. We're doing fine. Let's just not mess it up. Let's not touch it. But what about the other side of that coin? And that I'd like to address for a few moments. And perhaps the truth is the seed of Mamad Har Sinai may already have the key to begin to answer a little bit of this question. Let's try to develop and envision in our minds what happened at that moment. Let's step back a little bit. Klal Yisrael were slaves in Mitzrayim. They were beaten. They were subjugated. They were enslaved. They were humiliated. Their lives were hefker. They were killed. They were nothing. And they suffered at the hands of the Egyptians. And then all of a sudden, this person, Moshe Rabbeinu, Nevei Hashem, Nevei Hashem, comes and says, guess what? Hashem has heard your cries. He's going to take you out. There's going to be freedom. And we start experiencing these Eser Makos, exquisitely tailored to tear apart the Mitzrayim piece by piece, dismantles their society, destroy everything that they held dear. And the Jewish people, not a scratch. With Mitzrayim have darkness, we have light. When the Mitzrayim are running from their lives or from wild animals, we're just strolling down the street, nothing going on. Mitzrayim are scratching their skins off from all the lights, and we're just like, you know, sipping pina coladas and having a good time. Not a scratch. You can only imagine what they're feeling. Here they are, they're beaten by this nation, and they're like riding high. Kadosh Baruch Hu is taking care of them. They see the Yad Hashem, Mida Kedegin, Mida, taking apart the Mitzrayim. It's amazing. It's incredible. And they have such great anticipation of the next stage. And then they actually leave Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim's in the rearview mirror. And they're saying goodbye and good riddance. And they're just being skirted along on this unbelievable wave of excitement. They hit Kriyas Yamsuf. And in one foul moment, one swoop, Hashem obliterates, annihilates the entire Egyptian army, all its might. And we're singing Shira. We're singing Shira like you can't even imagine. Rosh Chodesh Bayam, right? And such a high. And here we are. We're feeling such a closeness. The Av of the Rabbona Sholom. The Mida Keneged Mida, the justice. We're finally seeing what the Koach of Hashem is. And we can only imagine, the next step. All of this was building. All this was building to culminate in the apex, the zenith of all that experience, Har Sinai, where everything is going to become clear. Life is going to become clear. Our mission is going to become clear. And we're going to have an experience of divinity with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we can't even begin to imagine, more than everything that's been going so great so far. The anticipation must have been just earth-shattering. But then what happens? They get to Har Sinai. And what the Pesukim say? V'cholam romes hakolot ses halapidim. They see the tremendous, right, sound and light show. V'es kol hafashar, kol hashafar, v'har shein. V'ayar ha'am, v'ayanu, v'ayamdu mirachok. And they're scared. Instead of this moment of ecstasy, they're quaking in fear. And they're stepping back. Vayomru el Moshe, daber yatoyim manu v'nishmar, vayidaber emadol kimpenumus. Moshe Rabbeinu, you have to intervene. It's too much. It's too powerful. You have to speak to Hashem and then convey the messages to us. Otherwise, we're going to die. We can't handle it. Here is the moment that they've been waiting for, the culmination of all this long experience. And here they're waiting for that divine encounter, and it's too much. And they're scared. Can you imagine? This is the Yom Chasun Osol, the Yom Simchas Libo. This is the marriage of Hashem to the Bnei Yisrael. Or Bnei Yisrael to the Torah. This is what? You can imagine the Chasun on his marriage, on his wedding day. He's so excited, right? The band's ready. There's energy. His friends are there. The family's there, all ready to go. And he has the largest panic attack he ever had. And instead of being that moment that he dreamed of, it's so depleting and depressing. And this was Klal Yisrael at Har Sinai. Instead of being this glorious moment that they were dreaming about, they feel defeated. Moshe, you got to step in. Penamus, we're going to die here. We can't handle it. And they're stepping back. Wow. Do you ever think about it in those terms? Yes, it was a powerful experience. Yes, they saw the Rabbona Shalom. But what about the other side of that coin? And what does the pasuk says? Ayomer Moshe la'am. Moshe says to the am, Al tiroki levavur nasos eschem bo Elokim. Hashem was nasos eschem. This whole experience, this whole perhaps letdown, disappointment, was lenasos eschem. What is lenasos eschem? And all the mefarshim struggle with lenasos eschem. What exactly was going on there? So Rashi says it comes from lenasos means nes. It's a banner. Hashem exalted the Jewish people. He lifted them up in order that they should be something high and mighty in the eyes of the nations. The Ramban gives an alternate pshat. He says nasos comes from the word nisa, to accustom us. Hashem wanted to accustom us to awesome moments of yira so that it should prevent us from ever sinning. And the Rambam goes with more classic pshat, like we would assume. The nasos is referring to a nisayon. It was a test. It was a test, the Rambam says, a test for the future. That if we had such a clear experience of truth, of emes, of the Rabbona Shalom, so then, in the future, when the charlatans try to steer us away from Hashem, and steer us away from Torah mitzvos, we'll know. We'll be able to stand firm and strong in the reality of what Hashem is in the Torah, and the truth of the Torah. And that was the test is to come. But perhaps we can suggest, and a little bit, Razam Saruskin, I think, says this. Perhaps we can suggest, very simply, the test of what we just described. The test is when we anticipated and we longed for and hoped for and we had every reason to expect to have the most glorious moments of a wedding with the Rabbona Shel Olam, and it didn't quite pan out that way. It wasn't exactly as we had planned. It was as Hashem has planned, but not what we had envisioned. And now we're feeling down and depleted, dejected. And what do we do at that moment? That's the test. Hashem says, what are you going to do now? Are you going to withdraw? Are you going to stay engaged? Are you going to still yearn for the Ribbono Shel Olam? Are you going to throw in the towel and say, you know what? Maybe it's not for me. Maybe I'm not worthy. Maybe I'm not ready. Whatever it is, I can't do it. Maybe it's for somebody else. Or worse, maybe it's the Ribbono Shel Olam's fault. Why did he do this to us? He knew we can't handle this. What do you want from us? That's in the Yesayah. What's our response? What's our defense mechanism? Or do we stay in it? Do we say, you know what? This was rough. Moshe Rabbeinu, you do have to take over. That's the emes. Taka, you have to take over. But we still yearn to Dvar Hashem. Tell us Dvar Hashem. And what happens immediately after the psukim? Kadosh Baruch Hu goes right back to teaching us mitzvahs. The very next psukim are more mitzvahs. We stayed engaged. We stuck with it. We didn't throw in the towel. That's the tremendous nisayon of the Mamar Har Sinai. I read an unbelievable story. Rav Drayman tells about a chassid, Rav Shmuel of Makarov. Makarov is a town in Ukraine. And this Rav Shmuel was a God-fearing, Yirei Shemayim Jew. And he had a Kabbalah. His Kabbalah is no matter what, he's never going to ask for help whatsoever from another person. He'll sustain himself. He'll live on the meager things that he earns. And that's what he'll do. And that's how he lived his life. Didn't have a lot of money. No excess. Sonas matanas yechya. That's the way he lived. One Pesach comes for Pesach and he has nothing. He doesn't have a pruta. He doesn't have a penny. He doesn't have a kopek. Nothing. He has nothing to his name. There's no food. There's no wine. There's no matzah. He's davening to the Ribbono Shel Olam, please, send me Yeshua. But he refused to give in. He was not going to ask for help. He was not going to turn to another yid and say, you know, a little tamchui. I need a little help here. He was a talmid of the Chozeh Lublin. And the Chozeh became aware, as only the Chozeh can, became aware of his dire straits. And he sent him a care package. Food, wine, matzahs, the whole thing. Comes Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontif, Pesach. There's a knock on the door. And this package shows up at Rishmol's house. Gewaldik! My tefillos have been answered. I've got food, I've got wine, I've drink. I didn't break my Kabbalah. Hashem send me like manna from heaven. It was an amazing thing. And he went to Pesach on such a spiritual high. He felt the Yad Hashem taking care of him. He went into that Seder and he said the Seder with such gusto, saying Pshatim and Chidushim and singing all the songs. And he was just with such great kavanah and fervor. The first Seder was amazing. And he figures the next Seder, it's going to just be one straight line up even higher. And he gets to the night of the second Seder, and this unbelievable drain comes over him. And he's so tired, he can't even keep his head up. So he just has to put his head down for a few minutes, and he falls into a deep sleep. Next thing he notices, he wakes up, looks at his watch, suddenly, oh my gosh, what happened? Chatzos is in 5 minutes. What happened? What did I do? He quickly davens up the Haggadah, runs through it, not able to say anything, it's barely in Kabbalah, and shlongs down the matzah before Chatzos and just makes it in time. And he's totally despondent. What happened? I was so high. Right? I was on the highest of the high and so low. It was a horrible Seder. He felt really, really down. Comes Shavuos and he decides he's going to travel to the Chozeh in Lublin, spend Shavuos with his Rebbe. He goes to the Chozeh, he enters into the room of the Chozeh's hat, and the Chozeh stops as if talking to himself. He says, this is as Reb Shmuel walks into the room. Let's examine Reb Shmuel's Siddurim this past year. Well, let's see, the first Seder, he was on such a high, he was flying in the clouds. Who needs that? Be all high and mighty? The second Seder. Now that's a Seder. Humble, low of spirit, just doing Ratzon Hashem. Got the matzah in time, made sure to say the Haggadah. Now that caused a stir in heavens. That's a Chashav Avoda. The message of the Chozeh was clear. We have to stop defining our successes and our Avodas Hashem and our Talmud Torah and our Kiyum Mitzvot based on how good we feel. It's about what we do. Do good, not just feel good. Do holy, not just feel holy. Stick to the Ratzon Hashem, even when you're not feeling it. That's not a bidyevet, says the Chozeh. That's your highest level of avoda. It's when you're slugging yourself through and it's not all clicking and it's not all connecting. You're having a hard Seder, not just the Pesach Seder, but your morning Seder. And I stuck with it. So it wasn't my best Seder. But I was there. I remained engaged. I still want. That's a real avodas Hashem. That makes Hashem proud. Gemara Shabbos, we all know the famous Gemara Shabbos, Daf Peches. Gemara Shabbos talks about Moshe Rabbeinu, Ol Lamorim, he goes up to Shemayim. Right? And the Malachim look at Moshe Rabbeinu and say, what is he doing here? What is this guy doing here? What? He doesn't belong here. He doesn't deserve our Torah. And Hashem turns to Moshe Rabbeinu and says, Nu, what are you going to say? Moshe Rabbeinu is holding on to the Kisei HaKavod, and he turns to the Malachim and he says, Nu, listen, you guys, says in the Torah, Lo Signovu, do you ever want to steal? Are you ever in a big business venture and maybe I'll just cut a corner? Do you have a Yetzirah? It says, Lo Sinaf. It says, Lo Sisa. Do you ever want to take Hashem's name in vain? Do you ever feel pressures to try to do something that's not correct, that's not right? Ever? Kavedes Avicha Zimecha. You, Malachim, do you ever be home with your parents and your father says, you know, can you run an errand for me? You have no interest in doing that errand. No interest. Has that ever happened to you? Do you struggle with that? Now, that was a Tshuva Nitzachas. That was the ultimate answer. Now, Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't just telling the Malachim, you know, there's a category, a hypothetical group of beings out there called people that could struggle with the Yitzhara. That's not what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying. Moshe Rabbeinu was saying that that's our reality. That's what we deal with. We struggle with Lo Signo. We struggle with Lo Sinaf. We struggle with Kaveid Avicha Asimecha. I don't want to, and it's hard. It's not some theoretical scenario. But Afal Pike, that is our Gevurah. That's what makes us special. Not when we're feeling like the Malachim, but when we're struggling. The Mechamas Yehuda quotes from the Imei Emes, in turn quotes from his father, the Sfas Emes. He says, that's Pshat, and Uvalid the Kedusha, we say Uvalid Tzion every single day. The three Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. What do we say every single day? Says the Sfas Emes. It goes in ascending order. The first Kadosh is Kadosh, Kadish, Bishmei, Merama, Yilah, Beishkintei. That's Shemayim. That's the Kedusha and Shemayim, that's the angels. The next level of Kedusha, the next level up. Kadish, Alara, Avan, Gvutei. That's the Kedusha on this land, Al Arat, people. People who are rooted to this land and who are given Gevura, Gvurtei. Hashem creates us with a sense of Gevura that we can overcome the Ara, the all the urges and the Yetzirah and the struggles that we have. And that puts us above the Malach. And then there's the highest, just one step above us is the highest, Kadosh La'olam Al Me'omayo, that's the Rabbeinu Shalom himself. We're just one step below the Rabbeinu Shalom. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu was holding on to the Kisei HaKavod in the Gemara and Shabbos. Not just because the Kisei HaKavod was protecting from the Malachim, but because Moshe Rabbeinu could touch the Kisei HaKavod. That's above the Malachim. That's what makes us tremendous. Rav Moshe of Kobrin, who is the precursor, the beginning of the Stalin or Hasidim, he was sitting on Shavuos with his Hasidim around, and he was struggling a little bit with that parsha that we discussed, we started with about Mamar HaSinai. He said, I don't understand. The Yidden are standing at Mamar HaSinai. They're having this unbelievable revelation of Hashem, and they're so scared. Moshe Rabbeinu, you got to speak to us, Pen Namos, we're going to die. We can't handle it, we're going to die. Says Rosh Mei Kovrin, wait a second. Our bodies are just a flimsy covering to the Neshama. Let the Neshama free. Set it free and let it bask in the glory of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. What's wrong with that? And he let that sink in for a while to the Hasidim. And then he answered, he said, the answer was, Pen Namus. If they die, they give up their strength. They give up their unequeness. If they're just in a Sham of the Malachim, Hashem has Malachim. That's a step down. They didn't want to give that up. We have to remain rooted to this world and struggle through, and that's what gives us our koach. I'll just end with a story. But when you have a moment, trust me, it's worth your while. We don't have time. There is an astounding, shocking, unbelievably sowed of the Gra, just from Megillas Rus that we just read. And look it up, please, when you have a chance. When Naomi tries to push Rus away, Rus wants to go with her. Naomi says, no, go back to your people. And the Pasuk says something very interesting. It says, Vatera ki misametzes hi laleches. It says that Rus was pushing forward to go with Naomi. Look at the Gra, I'm telling you, it's delicious. And it'll give you such an important yisod in life. I'm sorry we don't have time for it. But take a look. I'll just end with the following story. The Regina Rebbe was sitting around with his Talmidim, with his Hasidim, on Shalosh Shudas. And he said, you know, I have a Chassid. He's Yirei Shemayim. And he took a Kabbalah upon himself that he will never do business before Tefillah in the morning. And he had a fabric business. And he had one day a huge order of fabric he couldn't unload. And he was about to lose out on a lot of money, which put him really far behind. And he was in dire straits. And then all of a sudden, bright and early in the morning, there's a knock on the door. And a messenger from the minister of the town says, I want to make a deal to buy all your fabric. This would be the answers to his dreams. Just for davening. Zipped his lips, he said nothing. He didn't even respond. So the minister took that to understand, to mean that, oh, he's playing hardball. Okay, I'm going to up the price. I'll give you Even more. And he doesn't say a thing. His Kabbalah is Kabbalah, and he's not going to answer. So the minister, the shaliach, tries one more time. He doesn't answer. So he walks away frustrated. He wasn't able to make the deal. At that point, he stops, tells the Hasidim, let's sing a nigun. And they sing a nigun. Sing another nigun. And the Hasidim wondering, why is he holding a suspense? What happened? Did the guy make the deal of the century to become a wealthy man? So as this Ningen wound up, the Regina Rebbe said, I know what you're thinking. You want to hear what happened? What's the end of the story? He said, what does it matter what the end of the story is? The guy already won. He did the Ratzon Hashem. It doesn't have to have a fancy flowery ending that we all are looking for. He won. He did the Ratzon Hashem, and that's all that matters. We win when we do the Ratzon Hashem. We don't define our successes based on how good we feel, but on how good we do. When we stick with it, it might be a drop down than what we expected, or what we're used to. Like Rabbeinu Tam writes, right? That when we're in Yomei Choshech, so we're not doing as good as before, we're not doing as much as before, but we're still doing. That's your greatest moment of Kedusha. That's not Bidiyeved. That's what's going to take you straight up to Gan Eden. That's what you hold on to as our key to success. Good night, everybody.